I have not seen until recently a protected steel structure that has collapsed in a fire.
So what was the cause of the devastating explosive failure that happened to the World Trade Center?
There was a heavy-duty explosion.
And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
An explosion blew and it knocked everybody over.
There was a third explosion.
Then there was secondary explosions and then the subsequent collapses.
We heard reports of secondary explosions after the aircraft impacted.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being, you know, purposely dynamited and blown up.
The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it folded down on itself and it is not there.
10 o'clock Eastern Time this morning, just collapsing on itself. This is a place where thousands of people work. We have no idea what caused this. If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
At 10:30, I tried to leave the building, but as soon as I got outside, I heard a second explosion and another rumble and more smoke and more dust. I ran inside the buildings. The chandelier shook, and again, black smoke filled the air. Within another 5 minutes, we were covered again with more silt and more dust. And then a fire marshal came in and said we had to leave because if there was a third explosion, this building might not last.
As we were getting our gear on and making our way to the stairway, there was a heavy-duty explosion.
Some of the people out, then there was those secondary explosions, and then the subsequent collapses. So I don't know how many people were in there. I know there was a lot of firefighters. But...
New York's bravest never had a chance.
We really never even got to that close to the building. An explosion blew, and it knocked everybody over.
The FBI is here, as you can see. They had roped this area off. They were taking photographs and securing this area just prior to that huge explosion that we all heard and felt.
Most of the victims so far were people outside the blown up buildings.
Like, it sounded like gunfire, you know, bang, 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 and then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
To me, it sounded like, an explosion, then the building, the rolling sound, sounded like the building collapsed.
Top floors collapsed down. I saw it blow and then ran like hell, thank God. I'm 69, but I can still run.
The next thing we know, it was boom, boom, and the floor started shaking. And then we saw debris fall down, and next thing we know, we had to get out of the building. We stuck on the stairs for a while. We finally got down to the lobby. Then we get to the lobby, there's this big explosion.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor.
I was making my way to the foot of the World Trade Center. Suddenly, while talking to an officer who was questioning me about my press credentials, we heard a very loud blast, an explosion. We looked up, and the building literally began to collapse.
Rose Housley, one of our CNN producers, is on the phone. Rose, what do you got?
I'm about a block away, and there were several people that were hanging out the windows right below where the plane crashed when suddenly you saw the top of the building start to shake, and people began leaping from the windows in the north side of the building. You saw two people at first plummet, and then a third one, and then the entire top of the building just blew up, and splinters of debris are falling on the street.
We just saw that as well. The second tower, the only one that was standing, tower number one, we saw some kind of explosion, a lot of smoke come out of the top of the tower, and then it collapsed down onto the streets.
When I tried to save people, in the moment we heard a big explosion coming down. Everything just went black. Everything came down, glass started popping. People got hurt, stuff went on top of them, and it was a big explosion. Everything got dark, real dark, like snow. You can see behind me, this is not snow, this is all from the building. It was a terrible nightmare.
The streets of the financial district covered with debris, in some cases ankle deep. Cars on fire, cars just turned by the force of the explosions. It was like something no one had ever seen.
This huge incredible force of wind and debris actually came up the stairs, knocked my helmet off, knocked me to the ground.
We started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, it was if it had detonated. Yeah, as detonated. If they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
downstairs. The foreman tells me to go to remove the containers. As I'm walking by the main freight car of the building in the corridor, that's when I got blown. I mean, the impact of the explosion, of whatever happened, it threw me to the floor, and that's when everything started happening.
You have two 110-story office buildings. You don't find a desk. You don't find a chair. You don't find a telephone, a computer. The biggest piece of a telephone I found was half of the keypad, and it was about
all that's standing of the Twin Towers right now in the background. That's all that's standing. That's it. That's all that's left.
So you're literally right inside. What time did you actually photograph?
I don't even know. I rode my motorcycle right up from there. That was about an hour ago, not even.
It's absolutely...
Look at that. That's all that's left.
Do you know whether that's the South Tower or the North Tower?
That's the South Tower.
And you saw no sign of life in here whatsoever?
No, I went all the way right there. Like, I don't know if they edited it out yet, but there's a big hole going down to the ground. There's nobody. But the firemen said, you know, that there's been a lot of people dead, like a lot of firemen died.
Because there were firemen in the building at the time trying to help people evacuate from the building.
Yeah. They said 200 people died. I thought the fireman I saw, he said 200 people died already.
And this wall here, this is from part of the tower itself?
Yeah, that's the South Tower, the lobby. And it's all the smoke and there's still fire going on in there right now.
Are you walking across?
Yeah, see,
you're walking across, and that's your friend also with the photograph. And the building on the right that occasionally appears in a building adjacent?
Yeah, and it's just gouged. Like, the parts of the Twin Tower just gouged out the... building. See, that's the concourse below. That's going down like 20 feet or so.
See this destruction on television, and we see the videotape. It's a bit hard to understand where things were or where are they now. Can you tell us, can you point out what is what in this maze of rubble and destruction?
This was the South Tower. This was 104, 106 stories tall. This is what is left. Up there was the North Tower. And you look, and you see, and there's no concrete. There's very little concrete. All you see is aluminum and steel.
What happened to the concrete?
The concrete was pulverized. And I was down here Tuesday, and it was like you were on a foreign planet. All of Lower Manhattan, not just this site, from river to river, there was dust, powder, 2-3 inches thick. The concrete was just pulverized. And
what's to explain, Governor, the smoke that still comes out
there's
of the fire.
There's still fire down below. There is such an incredibly deep pile of rubble, and the tower goes down 5-6 stories underground that there's still fire underneath, smoldering.
Base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
Obviously, the cameraman knows he's in trouble on that one, and everybody's starting to run when they see Tower 1 falling to the ground. When you're running like that, just in fear for your life, you have no idea how close that is behind you.
We don't deal with that.
And it's just coming from every street. Look at that.
There has just been a huge explosion. We can see a billowing smoke rising. And I can't, I'll tell you that I can't see that second tower, but there was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now this, it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit. And I cannot see behind that smoke, obviously, as you can either. The first tower in front has not changed. And we see this extraordinarily and frightening scene behind us of this second tower. now just encased in smoke. What is behind it, I cannot tell you.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed, as if a demolition team set off, when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it
my
pulled
God.
It down on itself, and it is
oh
not
God.
There anymore.
Oh. That should be it.
It
thanks
has
very much,
completely yeah. collapsed.
The whole side has collapsed?
The whole building has collapsed.
The
building has collapsed.
Appearing to fall away from the rest of the building. Can we go to the tape now? Here we go, right here. This is, I mean, when you look at it, the building has collapsed. That tower just came down.
I spoke to the chief of safety for the New York City Fire Department. He received word of the possibility of a secondary device, that is another bomb going off. He thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building.
Well over an hour. I want to underscore again that both towers have been hit. Both towers, each tower, was hit by an aircraft, incoming aircraft.
Again, and I know that for many of you, you've heard this a lot, but I think it's important as people join us as they do in moments like this, they are coming in all the time, that there have been attacks in two American cities, New York and in Washington. The trade centers here in New York have been hit by airplanes. In Washington, there is a large fire at the Pentagon. The Pentagon has been evacuated. And there's, you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord. There are no words. You can see large pieces of the building falling. You can see the smoke rising. You can see a portion of the side of the building now just being covered on the right side as I look at it, covered in smoke. This is just a horrific scene and a horrific moment.
God.
Here it is. That's a videotape replay.
Also, we're trapped by this. And here is the second tower that's coming down. And this was a similar situation. This defies belief.
Again, what you're seeing are high shots. Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that.
Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Let's just stay with this photograph or this graphic for just a second. Well, no, there's number 7 coming down. When you think that part of the component of news coverage around the country every year is the excitement and the fun that people get watching an old building being demolished, and they wired very carefully for days, and it's a very careful operation in order to make sure that a building comes down safely. I think the last one we saw was when they brought down one of the old casinos in Las Vegas. I mean, this is just stunning to see these things come down.
gone, man.
Back live, we have had little relief here. Take a look at this. About an hour ago, World Trade Center building number 7 collapsed. A 42-story building. No word of any casualties in the building. It was the one calamity that was not a surprise.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Stunning statements from a BYU professor tonight regarding 9/11. He thinks planes alone did not bring down the World Trade Center towers. Both towers collapsed in place after terrorist attacks, and later that day, World Trade Number 7, which was never hit by a plane, fell in less than 7 seconds. Brian Mullahy spoke to the professor today and joins us from the roof of the Wells Fargo Center. A crazy theory, Brian, or any validity to this?
Well, Professor Stephen Jones got an email today asking, are you some kind of nutcase? And actually, he's written an academic paper for peer review. It's been well received, he says, among his colleagues at BYU, and it is essentially this. The buildings fell on September 11th, not from planes, but from explosives that were intentionally set.
Images seared in our minds. We saw the planes hit, the explosions and fire so hot, fortress towers could not stand. Stephen Jones says, not so fast.
They're sticking with this one hypothesis. It's almost they have blinders on. It's got to be fires and damage.
Jones is a 20-year physics professor at BYU who's penned an academic paper raising another hypothesis. Explosives pre-positioned in the buildings.
Notice how it's straight down.
Especially intriguing to Jones, World Trade Center number 7. Damaged and ablaze from tower debris, but never hit by a plane.
Symmetrically, now, it doesn't topple over, as you might expect from what we call the second law of thermodynamics. It comes straight down. This is the goal of pre-positioned explosives in a controlled demolition.
If explosives detonated like these, if they did, it begs the question,
who set the explosives?
Sure.
And I try not to go there too much because we have to answer the first question first, the scientific issue first. We need to consider all options for the collapse of these buildings. Let the chips fall where they may.
Jones says that models conducted in tests since 9/11 have not been able to duplicate what happened to the buildings. He is not saying that this is a proven theory. He says, in fact, that it's a hypothesis, but he wants a fresh, new, independent investigation. Mark, back to you.
Definitely something to think about, though, Brian.
Yeah,
all
sure
right.
Is.
Thanks a lot.
The collapses of the Twin Towers and Building Number 7 had to have been examples of controlled demolition, brought about by thousands of explosives placed throughout each of the buildings. No foreign terrorist could have obtained the kind of access to the buildings this would have required. One reason for concluding that the three buildings were brought down by explosive is the very fact that they did collapse. High-rise steel frame buildings have never, before or after 9/11, been caused to collapse by fire. Even when, as in the Philadelphia fire of 1999 and the Madrid fire of February of this year, the fires were much larger, much hotter, and much longer lasting than any of the fires in the World Trade Center. The second reason is the specific nature of the collapses, each feature of which points to explosives. For example, the buildings collapsed straight down and at virtually free fall speed, as in controlled demolitions. And then the rubble smoldered for months afterwards. With regard to the Twin Towers in particular, Many people in the building said that they saw, they felt, or heard explosions. Virtually all the concrete of these enormous structures was pulverized into very fine dust.
This was the South Tower. This was 104, 106 stories tall. This is what is left. Up there was the North Tower. And you look, and you see, and there's no concrete. There's very little concrete. All you see is aluminum and steel.
What happened to the concrete?
The concrete was pulverized. And I was down here Tuesday, and it was like you were on a foreign planet. All of Lower Manhattan, not just this site, from river to river, there was dust, powder, 2-3 inches thick. The concrete was just pulverized.
Try this. Get a piece of concrete and drop it a little over 1,000 feet and see if it pulverizes into very fine dust. It won't happen. Much of this dust, along with steel and aluminum, was blown out horizontally from the buildings several hundred feet. Most of the steel beams and columns came down in sections about 30 feet long, conveniently ready to be loaded onto trucks. And pools of molten steel were found beneath the rubble.
This is how it's been since day one.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And this is 6 weeks later, almost 6 weeks later.
And as we get closer to the center of this, it gets hotter and hotter. It's probably 1,500 degrees. We've had some small windows into what we thought was a core at some point, and it looked like an oven. You know, it was just roaring inside. And it's just a bright, bright reddish-orange color.
These and even more effects point to the existence of very powerful, precisely placed explosives. A third thing supporting the theory of controlled demolitions is evidence of a deliberate cover-up. If the building's steel columns and beams had indeed been broken by explosives, an examination of the steel would have revealed this fact. However, although it is normally a federal offense to remove anything from a crime scene, the steel was quickly loaded onto trucks and put on ships headed for Asia to be melted down. I will mention one more example of the cover-up. Insofar as there is an official story as to why the towers collapsed, it is the pancake theory, according to which the floors above the destruction caused by the airplanes collapsed on the floor below, and then those floors collapsed on the floor below that, and then it pancaked all the way down. Now, even if this theory were remotely plausible, can you imagine it pancaking at free fall speed? The other problem is, what happened to the 47 massive steel columns that constituted the core of each of these twin towers? They were the weight-bearing structures of each tower. Those 47, even if the pancake theory were true, those 47 steel beams should have been sticking up at least several hundred feet into the air, just like the old phonographs, where sometimes the 78 records would collapse, but the spindle still sticking up in the air. You should have had 47 spindles still sticking up in the air. Well, what did the 9/11 Commission report do about that problem? It avoided the problem incredibly by simply denying the existence of these columns, even though those columns, I'm not making this up. These columns were the unique feature of these towers when they were first built. So, the commission report, after saying falsely that most of the weight of each tower was borne by the steel columns in its exterior walls, this supposedly authoritative report said the interior core of the buildings was a hollow steel shaft in which elevators and stairwells were grouped. Such a desperate lie is a sure sign of a cover-up. In any case, when we look at all these features of the collapses, the idea that they could have been caused by the impact of the airplanes plus the resulting fires is ridiculous. This is even clearer with regard to building number 7, which wasn't hit by any airplane. And yet it came down about 5:30 that afternoon. Its collapse remains so impossible to explain, except as controlled demolition, that the 9/11 Commission report did not even mention it, as if the collapse of a 47-story building was not worthy of comment. And it only had fires on floors number 7 and 12 of 47 stories.
Big round of applause for Mr. Jeff King. Can I still be ready?
Okay. I studied physics at MIT. I did electrical engineering for about 8 years. I've had quite a bit of practical engineering experience. When I first saw the collapses, I was absolutely convinced that they were not spontaneous. One of the first things that I did was to speak with one of my patients, who is a retired Army Corps of Engineers fellow who's done a lot of demolition and construction, showed him some of the public source videos that are available of it, and he immediately pointed out that there were squibs, which represent little puffs of smoke essentially coming out of the buildings initially, which were clearly a sign of controlled demolition. He had no opinions beyond that, but he said without doubt that it was a controlled demolition. That sort of set me on the path of continuing to examine it and trying to gather as much evidence as I could. And the question I pose, what don't we know and why don't we know it, is sort of addressing the fact that at this point we still do not really have a meaningful explanation for what happened to the buildings. We have had several studies at this point, which I will go into, as to trying to determine a plausible scenario for the collapse. As of this point, none of them have presented us with anything that I think could be reasonably called a convincing and detailed account of why the collapse has occurred. And the question that's been addressed previously, the enormous destruction of physical evidence, as Chris was saying, the site was scrubbed very thoroughly. Out of the entire mass of the buildings that were destroyed, the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, who are now doing the ongoing investigation, managed to save about 240 pieces out of the entire building. All of the rest of it was basically recycled. The obvious question is what does it mean that there was a controlled demolition? At the simplest level, it means that someone had a lot of access to the buildings over a long enough period of time to set this up. It implies, as many other things have tonight, that the people who had effective control of the site had an interest in having it scrubbed and making sure that no information was available, that a forensic reconstruction couldn't be done. Even in much smaller catastrophes, we typically will reconstruct things as completely as possible. For example, TWA Flight 800 pieces were dredged off the bottom of the sea. A complete reconstruction was done to allow a detailed analysis. In this case, the exact opposite was done. The first report that was really issued on this was issued by FEMA in collaboration with the American Society of Civil Engineers. There was basically a volunteer team from ASCE that had very limited access to the site. A lot of the pieces that they were able to retrieve were retrieved by going to landfills and trying to find interesting pieces before they were disposed of. The initial FEMA report basically acknowledged that the kerosene would have burned off very quickly. What wasn't destroyed in the initial fireball would have been consumed fairly rapidly and would have only really served as an ignition for the rest of the material. And the second point being that the fuel here really was strictly office contents. If you think of a modern office with copying machines, computers, and as has been previously mentioned, the smoke, particularly from Building 2, just before it collapsed, was very black-looking. This is generally an indication of an inefficient fire in which there is not enough oxygen for the amount of fuel. These types of fires typically burn very cool. They are not hot flames like blowtorches. The cores themselves, basically, if you've seen diagrams of the building, there's a large central rectangle in each of the towers that contained 47 columns. And these columns basically were the primary structural support of the building. They were given the role of supporting the whole gravitational load of the building. Since they were so strong, it would have been reasonable to think that they would have withstood, at least to some extent, the collapse. But in fact, as we see after the buildings collapsed, there was basically only little stubs of these things standing up a floor or two above the ground level. The cores did not have much in them that would burn. The cores basically were dedicated to things like elevator shafts, utility shafts, stairways. So you have drywall material, you have a little bit of carpeting, you don't really have any inflammable material in the core itself. The core was specifically designed so it could not function as a chimney. They did not want, in the case of a fire, for the fire to be able to travel through the elevators or for air to come in through the elevators. So they were designed with what this architect, Aaron Swirsky, I believe it was, referred to as a hermetically sealed system. There were fire shutters that were designed to close off the core in the event of an event like this. And those, as far as we know, functioned properly, which means that there was a very limited amount of oxygen available. Okay, as far as the issue of what failed and how, some of the initial suggestions, and these showed up in the NOVA documentary, which is a good example of what I like to call proof by computer animation. Thomas Egar, who was a material scientist but not a structural engineer, who became a spokesman for these documentaries, indicated that the floors had somehow failed, that the trusses supporting the floors had failed. This was the theory that was put forward actually in the initial FEMA report. Subsequently, there have been basically complete contradictions of that. Jim Hoffman has done quite a bit of research, which is available on the web, concerning the problems with this idea that the floors would have simply fallen. There was a study done by Weidlinger Associates. The chief engineer there was Mathis Levy, who's a very well-known authority on building collapses. He specifically disavowed the idea of pancaking or collapsing of the floors. And the most recent official report we have on this, which is from National Institutes of Standards and Technology, NIST, rejected the idea that floor collapse was part of it. And so as a result, we have basically no sequential model at this point. What NIST has suggested is that there was some kind of simultaneous collapse of the cores, but they have not attempted to give any kind of modeling as to whether those cores could have, in fact, been destroyed by the fires in the way that they claim. Unfortunately, the material that would have allowed a detailed fire analysis, the actual physical evidence, is all gone. One of the most significant things to my thinking that indicates that this could not have been the sort of collapse that we are told it was is the presence of the dust clouds. And as you've seen in the pictures, and I'm sure all of us have seen probably more than we would like, there were very, very large clouds of very thick dust that enveloped the area, that crossed the river, that made it almost all the way to New Jersey from the pictures that I've seen. This type of flow is something that we are familiar with in physics. It occurs in only two situations that we know of naturally. One is in volcanic eruptions, where a large amount of material is suddenly exploded into the air and basically forms small particles. The other situation is something called turbidity currents. These occur along the edges of the continental shelves, where mud or sediment will slump, become suspended in water. And the common thread is that you have large amounts of a dense material that is suspended very quickly in a fluid, thereby creating another denser fluid, which is in effect the dust cloud. And that fluid can achieve considerable velocities. The problem with creating this sort of slurry of fine particles is that there really is no mechanism that has been proposed. We have concrete floors with carpeting or flooring over them. We have furniture. We have floors basically that are coming together in a collapse, but the concrete is basically protected under these layers. Early in the collapse, in the very first moments, we see these thick clouds being ejected at very high speed. They're clearly dense because they flow downward and become part of this large overall pyroclastic flow. What we're basically being told is that the concrete sort of jumped up into midair, exploded itself, and then was ejected as the floors came together. Not a very plausible mechanism, but I have yet to hear of anything else proposed to explain it. From quite a few people on the scene, we've been told that the powder represented most of the concrete, that the amount of intact macroscopic chunks of concrete on the scene were negligible, that basically everything was reduced to powder. And incidentally, we also know that other things besides concrete were reduced to powder. We know that contents of computers, exotic metals from computer chips, these sorts of things were also identified in the dust and in very small particles, generally on the order of less than 100 microns in diameter. So we have a real issue of mechanism as far as what in the process of this collapse could cause so many things to be pulverized so finely. For the towers to collapse the way we saw them collapse basically implies that the columns simply collapsed into themselves. They telescoped straight down. Steel keeps a lot of its structural integrity, even when heated. Until you begin to approach the melting point, you don't really see a catastrophic loss of strength, and this is what we're talking about. We're talking about basically vertical box columns collapsing into themselves, which implies a complete loss of mechanical strength. And as far as the initial impacts, this recent NIST study made an interesting point about World Trade Centers 2. The film analysis showed that it oscillated for about 4 minutes after it was struck by the airplane, and the oscillation rate was identical to what would be expected for the intact tower. Trade Center towers and most modern buildings are heavily redundant in the sense that the load bearing can be shifted to other members if some of them fail, and we saw that happen in this case. Stresses do redistribute, but absent further weakening of the structural members, that distribution is limited. It happens, the structure restabilizes, and unless there's significant further damage, it doesn't progress to a total collapse. World Trade 1 began collapsing from the very top after an hour and 40 minutes. It's very hard to imagine office contents progressively heating up hotter and hotter over that period of time. And for a building to collapse from the very top, which is the least heavily loaded, is also very odd, to say the least. Just a couple of other anomalies. As we know, there were reports of explosions. There were reports of underground explosions in both of the towers at the time of the impact from a building engineer by the name of Philip Morelli. There are interviews with him on the web. From the Naudé brothers film, 9/11, we see that the lobby of the North Tower was extensively damaged with what looks like high explosive blast damage, and this was immediately after the plane collision. But we know that on the weekend before, there were power downs, and there appear to have been evacuation drills going on throughout the previous week, which suggests that at least some people knew that something was happening. The power downs may represent a time window in which demolition charges would have been planted, although I think it's possible that they also were planted over a much longer period of time, given the relative accessibility of the buildings. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff King. Thank you very, very much.
As far as 9/11 is concerned, what is most important for you to understand is the concept of a law of nature. A law of nature cannot be violated. A law of nature cannot be changed. A law of nature requires no enforcement. The key issues to consider are going to be the rate at which these buildings fell, the temperature at which steel melts, the order in which the buildings fell, and the force that would have been required to turn concrete into a fine powder. Those are some of the key issues that I'm going to address.
These two buildings were some of the most remarkable structures in engineering history. They were two 110-story buildings. They were extremely well constructed, and they were designed, as I will explain, to withstand the impact of aircraft collisions, even multiple aircraft collisions. Many people, even today, don't realize that the first impact on the North Tower, which is distinguished by having the antenna, it has an antenna, so you can tell the North Tower, which is World Trade Center 1 from the South Tower, World Trade Center 2, was actually caught on film. There was a French team in Manhattan that was filming, and they happened to capture the impact. Now, the North Tower was hit by American Airlines Flight 11, which took off from Logan Airport. It was a 767, about 758, and it was in the air for about 50 minutes when it impacted with the 96th floor of the North Tower at 8:46 a.m. Much more attention was being devoted to the Twin Towers at this point in time, so there's a lot of footage of the impact with the South Tower. Here we see the plane approaching the South Tower as the North Tower is in flames. Here's the plane coming forward. This was United 175, also out of Boston's Logan Airport, another 767. It took off at 8:14 and impacted with the 80th floor at about 9:03. Interestingly, its amount of time in flight was about almost identical with that of American Airlines 11, about 50 minutes in the air. Here's this tremendous impact and the explosion and the fireball. And what you want to appreciate is that a tremendous amount of the fuel that was aboard the aircraft was burned off in these fireballs within the first minute or two. A tremendous amount of the fuel that was aboard the aircraft was burned off. So the amount that remained was not so extensive. It turns out that steel has a melting point of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The steel used in these buildings was certified by Underwriters Laboratory to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit for up to 6 hours. 6 hours. The highest temperature at which kerosene can based jet fuel can burn under optimal conditions is around 1,700 degrees Fahrenheit. Underwriters Laboratory actually estimated that because of the insulation and so forth in the building, that it was far more likely that the steel itself was never heated much above around 500 degrees Fahrenheit, which, of course, is obviously far too low to accommodate the melting of the steel. The highest temperatures that were measured in the South Tower were around 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit, but still way, way below what would have been required. Now, what's interesting about the fall of the buildings is the order in which they fell. The South Tower fell at 10 a.m., actually 9:59, after only 56 minutes from impact. So it was only 56 minutes of exposure at temperatures that were far too low to actually melt steel before the building came down. The North Tower, however, was exposed for an hour and 37 minutes. So it's very curious that the building, which was exposed to these fires, which are alleged to be the cause of the collapse of the building, fell in the wrong order. They fell in the wrong order. If it was actually the heat from the fires that is supposed to precipitate their falling, then the North Tower, which was hit first, should have fallen first, but it was the South Tower, which was hit second, that fell first. There are many indications of the nature of the collapse that are rather stunning. There's a tremendous amount of steel girders that are thrown outwards. You can see a lot of them here in the dust and debris cloud. The way in which the buildings fell was quite stunning because they fell into their own footprint. This is rather remarkable on several counts, considering that vastly more damage would have been done to lower Manhattan if these 110-story buildings had fallen somehow askew and onto other buildings. They not only fell into their own footprint, but they fell in such a way that most of the steel was in 30-foot segments, which made it very easy to load aboard vehicles, and most of the steel was, in fact, very promptly removed by an extremely efficient company by the name of Controlled Demolition. Now, here's further indication of what's going on, and it is stunning how the massive concrete, there's a huge quantity of concrete here, was pulverized, turned into very fine powder. Now, if these buildings had come down, as the government contends, by virtue of this pancake effect, there should have been a tremendous pile of residue of concrete chunks, concrete boulders and all that. No such was found. In fact, this concrete was turned into very fine dust, which required a tremendous amount of greater amount of explosives than the energy that would have been released by the pancaking effect of the building. Moreover, and this is quite stunning too, the rate at which the buildings fell is perhaps most remarkable. I mentioned Galileo's law of free fall. If you had dropped, say, a billiard ball from the top of the World Trade Center, 110 floors up there, it would have taken 8 to 10 seconds to hit the ground, encountering no resistance whatsoever. There is no scenario for a pancake effect of buildings falling that allows them to fall at the rate of free fall. If you were just to surmise, hypothetically as an approximation, that they would take a second for each floor to collapse, and if you were talking about the whole 110 floors, that would represent 110 seconds, or 100 seconds too many. If you assume that, well, yeah, but the one hit on the 96th floor, so we're only talking about collapse from the 96th floor, that would still be 96 seconds if you're assuming a second per collapse per floor. Now, an engineer in California suggested that a second is too high, that it may have only taken a half a second in order for the mass, the weight of the upper floors to overcome the resistance of the lower floors, and suggests that a half a second. Well, if you take a half a second into 96 floors, then you get 48 seconds it should have taken for the building to fall. Yet they only fell in 8 to 10 seconds, far too fast. Similarly, hitting the 80th floor of the other trade tower would have required 40 seconds if you had a half a second per floor, far too fast for the 8 to 10 seconds that they fell. I mean, it's not even physically possible that the buildings could have fallen in accordance with the government's claim. Moreover, and although it doesn't show it here, but in other footage that you'll find on the video clips that I mentioned, there was a tremendous explosion in the sub-basements. These sub-basements run 7 and 8 floors below the ground. There was tremendous explosion in the sub-basements that was even recorded on seismographs run by Columbia University about 8 or 9 seconds before the building started to fall. About 8 or 9 seconds, that is to say, before the planes impacted with the buildings. The tremendous explosions in the sub-basement. I mean, it's really dramatic stuff.
Right in the basement, you felt it. Walls were caving in. Everything that was going on. I mean, I know of people that got killed in the basement. I know of people that got broken legs in the basement. People that got reconstructive surgery because the walls hit them in the face.
And we have some workers who were there that were damaged by these sub-basement explosions, and talk about a 50-ton hydraulic press, for example, that was completely obliterated in the explosion. And if you look at the film footage of the explosions, you find all over the place there's these little plumes of smoke breaking out called spools that are symptomatic of a controlled demolition. Here's a spool. See how it extends. Here's another. See how it extends. Here's another. See how it extends. And we wound up with this mass of steel that was surprisingly easy to remove because so much of it was of a relatively uniform size, around 30-foot lengths. Really quite remarkable. And they started cleaning up the site almost immediately. Now, the claim was made, and you can find this in the 9/11 Commission report, that the center of the buildings was all hollowed out. But the only part of the center of the buildings was all hollowed out were the actual elevator shafts. There were, in fact, 47 steel columns at the center of each of these buildings. 47 steel columns at the center of these buildings, and on the perimeter there were no less than 240 steel columns. And you certainly would have expected them to be projecting upward if the building had fallen. It would have been very asymmetrical. It would have been very different kind of collapse than occurred here. Here's some early photographs in the construction of these buildings. They were really marvels of engineering. These were brilliantly conceived buildings, and they were built in the full knowledge that it might be the case that they have to resist the impact of aircraft. Here is Frank DeMartini, who was the chief engineer on one of the towers, who reported that they were constructed in such a fashion and they were so resilient that the impact of the largest known commercial aircraft at the time, a Boeing 707, would be like sticking a pencil through mosquito netting.
The building was designed to have a fully loaded 707 crash into it. That was the largest plane at the time. I believe that the building probably could sustain multiple impacts of jetliners because this structure is like the mosquito netting on your screen door, this intense grid. and the jet plane is just a pencil puncturing that screen netting. It really does nothing to the screen netting.
And I found three other engineers who played primary roles in the project who say the same thing. This guy, Frank DeMartini, was killed on 9/11 when the buildings collapsed. Here's a comparison of the Boeing 707 with the 767. They're very similar in their dimensions, in their maximum takeoff weight, maximum fuel capacity, cruise speeds, and the like. These are very similar aircraft. Let me mention, by the way, that this is the first and only time in history that any steel structure skyscrapers are ever collapsed due to fire. It has never before been recorded in the history of structural engineering, before or since. So government is asking us to believe that on this one day, 9/11, as it were, the laws of physics were suspended and phenomena never before known to structural engineering were taking place just in this exact location. Here is World Trade Center building number 7. This was a 47-story skyscraper, which if it hadn't been surrounded by 110-story buildings would have been regarded as quite a substantial building. This building fell at 5:25 p.m., never having been hit by any aircraft and only having sustained two relatively small fires, and it was brought down by what we know was a controlled demolition, because Larry Silverstein, who had leased the World Trade Center about 6 months before all these events took place and insured the buildings at quite a substantial chunk of money in the billions of dollars, for which he then collected twice by insisting it was two different attacks, had a conversation with somebody he described as the chief of police, where Silverstein reported he told the chief, well, there's been so much death and destruction, maybe the best thing we can do is pull it.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
Where the term pulling, of course, in construction means take it down by controlled demolition. This building came down perfectly symmetrical, fell into its own footprint. Absolutely crystal clear that that is what happened to World Trade Center 7. The best that the 9/11 Commission could do was to say that the only scenario they had for its collapse was highly improbable. What that means is they couldn't explain it. What that means is if they did explain it, it would raise too many important questions about whether the other buildings, whose collapse was so very similar to the collapse of World Trade Center number 7, hadn't been from similar causes. In this case, notice, in order to pull the building, there had to be pre-positioned explosives. The building could not have been pulled unless there were pre-positioned explosives, which raises the very appropriate question, does that mean there could have been pre-positioned explosives in the World Trade Center? Well, there have been a lot of reports of oddities involving security in the weeks leading up to 9/11. The agency that's responsible for its security is a company named Securicom. A director of the agency, which not only was responsible for security at the World Trade Center, but also at Dulles Airport and for United Airlines, was none other than Marvin Bush, the president's brother.
Hello, I'm A.J. Hammer, live in New York City.
And I'm Brooke Anderson, live in Hollywood. A.J., it's been incredible. Pretty hard. To believe, actually, the response we got today to the incredible story showbiz tonight broke last night. Actor Charlie Sheen's startling claims that the government may be covering up what really happened on September 11th.
So many emails coming in. We've been really overwhelmed today. Between the emails, the blogs, the websites, everybody is writing and talking about it. Charlie Sheen made the comments during a hard-to-believe interview on a radio show. And don't move, because in just a moment, the host of the radio show, the guy who actually spoke with Sheen, is going to join me live here on Showbiz Tonight. But first, let's get you up to speed on the latest developments.
The
more you look at stuff, especially specific incidents, specific events in or around the fateful day, it just raises a lot of questions.
The questions Charlie Sheen is raising about the 9/11 attacks are raising a lot of eyebrows. Our email inbox immediately started to overflow, and the coverage on Showbiz Tonight is getting a lot of attention. The website 9/11 Blogger calls Showbiz Tonight's coverage, quote, the first time a major news station has covered 9/11 questions in any reasonable format. It all started with a radio interview Sheen gave to GCN Radio Network host Alex Jones, a cult hero of sorts to 9/11 conspiracy theorists. Well, during the interview, Sheen made clear that he backs Jones' views.
We're not the conspiracy theorists on this particular issue. It seems to me like, you know, 19 amateurs with box cutters taking over four commercial airliners and hitting 75% of their targets, that feels like a conspiracy theory.
Sheen also made another shocking suggestion that we may not know the full story about the collapse of the World Trade Center.
I have a hard time believing that a fireball traveled down the elevator over 1,100 feet and still had the explosive energy to destroy the lobby like it was described. I said, hey, call me insane, but did it sort of look like those buildings came down in a controlled demolition?
I was your age, I can only dream about my parents splitting up.
As the star of the hit sitcom Two and a Half Men, Sheen is seen weekly by about 10 million people, and many of them may end up paying attention to his controversial comments on 9/11.
Welcome back to Showbiz Tonight. I'm AJ Hammer in New York. This is TV's only live entertainment news show. We have been getting an overwhelming response to our Showbiz Tonight question of the day. We've been asking, Charlie Sheen speaks out. Do you agree there is a government cover-up of 9/11? Here's the vote so far. 67% of you say yes. 33% of you say no. Some of the emails we've received includes one from Jennifer in North Dakota. She writes, Charlie Sheen has no evidence, and it is a shame that celebs get their voice and opinions heard because of their status. We also heard from Danny, who lives in Kentucky. Danny says, God bless Charlie Sheen for standing up and speaking his mind on what is the most devastating event to hit our nation, 9/11. We also heard from Chris in Ohio. Chris writes, this is a very important issue that must be brought into the mainstream. It is our patriotic duty to make sure we find out why and how 9/11 happened.
My guest, Morgan Reynolds, ex-Labor Department economist for the George W. Bush administration in the first term. What led you to take a look at this this 9/11 event?
Well, I left in January of 2003, after 16 months in the current Bush administration in their first term. We just saw the tops of those both towers blown to kingdom come, and then progressively they were pulled out from under them. There was almost no resistance from lower floors, which had zero impact damage and zero fire damage.
It's pretty clear, if you look at it, that this is an inside job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's overwhelming when you... The number one piece of evidence is, of course, the demolition of all three buildings at the World Trade Center.
Oh, my God.
We just witnessed some kind of secondary follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center number 2, the wall.
Secondary.
There was another major explosion. The building itself, literally the top of it, came down, sending smoke and debris everywhere.
Just seconds ago, there was a huge explosion, and it appears right now the second World Trade Tower has just collapsed.
There were two or three similar huge explosions, and the building literally shook. You literally shook at the base of this building.
We understand now there has been a secondary explosion on Tower 2.
What happened was I was down in the basement. All of a sudden we heard a loud bang, and the elevator doors blew open. Some guy was burnt up, so I dragged him out. His skin was all hanging off.
I was about five blocks away when I heard explosions. Three thuds and turned around to see the building we just got out of. Antenna tip over and fall in on itself.
Federal agencies that were down there do believe that there was some sort of explosive device somewhere else besides the planes hitting.
See, I got an eyewitness who said there was an explosion on floor 7-8. 7-8.
And we got another explosion on the tower, 10-13. 10-13.
Number 2 has had a major explosion and what appears to be a complete collapse.
surrounding the entire area.